Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, Alarmy. Check out Alarmist on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Here's a preview of our Guest Alarmist series, only on Patreon.
Truly, I think I even remember as I walked back to my car being like, come on, man, like, fuck. Like, just like, and he didn't care. I was even questioning, like, how much do I tell him? I hoped that he had seen it in my eyes when I said, even for an emergency?
Yeah. And that's a good plea. If you're watching the video, I feel like that's really good. If you had done that to me, I would have been like, yeah, all right.
Sympathy. Empathy for you, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't believe there was no rule bending in that moment.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now, on to our episode. Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we're speaking with guest expert Jen Kaltrider. Jen is a privacy AI researcher at the Mozilla Foundation, where she is the founder and program director of the Privacy Not Included project. Let's hear what she has to say about Megan the movie and AI. Hi, Jen. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So can you start off by telling us a little bit more about your area of work and how you became involved in AI research?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm a very nerdy privacy researcher. I wasn't always a privacy researcher, but back in 2017, if we can remember back that far, it was very long ago. But that's when things like smartwatches started to track more than your steps, and we had smart speakers like Alexa coming into our lives. And I work at Mozilla, which is a nonprofit whose goal is paraphrasing to make the internet suck less, and privacy is a big part of that. And so we guessed of, hey, we'll people care about privacy in these more and more connected devices. And they're like, well, let's make a buyer's guide. And so we gave it a shot. In 2017, we made our first privacy not included buyer's guide. It had like 48 products to see if people cared. And they did care. Kind of slowly, they were starting to care. And so over the past, my math is bad, but like 7 years or so, I've been reviewing the privacy and security of connected consumer products like devices, apps like mental health apps, reproductive health apps, cars, things like that, to help consumers know what's going on with their privacy in these connected devices, what devices they can buy or avoid to do better for privacy. And so as part of that, you know, AI is entering our world everywhere now, and AI is It's really bad for privacy, it turns out. And so we're starting to review more products and AI devices, apps, things like that.
So, you know, we're covering the movie Megan. And in the movie, she's programmed to have what they say, what they call emergent capabilities. Can you help us understand what that means and what are some of the challenges to this type of AI technology?
Yeah. Well, full disclaimer, I haven't seen the movie because I'm terrified of horror movies. They scare me.
Also, this is particularly a scary subject, I assume, in your
work. Yeah. And so, yeah. So their description, I'm going to guess they mean that AIs that learn about us by getting to know as much as they can about us, and then going from there, you know, learning what we want, who we are, and then filling in the blank sometimes. And so it gets creepy fast. I mean, obviously the movie itself, I've heard, is creepy, but the research that I've done into AI relationship chatbots, for example, is really creepy. So yeah.
Can you tell us more about your experience and how you've been scared of chatbots?
Yeah, so we reviewed the privacy of AI relationship chatbots for Valentine's Day this year because more and more people are looking for love in AI places, and they seem to be finding it. A lot of people seem to think that, you know, talking to an AI chatbot that's designed to tell them what they want to hear is better for them than talking to a human that might not always tell them what they want to hear. And so these AI relationship chatbots, things like Replica, are exploding, and the downloads of them are growing really fast. And, you know, when we review privacy, say take for cars, for example, we look at how much data a product has to collect to provide the purpose of the product. So for a car, it's to get you from point A to point B safely, right? Anything that outside of that data collection starts to raise eyebrows from a privacy researcher. But if you think about an AI relationship chatbot that's designed and marketed to get to know you, to become your soulmate, to become your boyfriend, to become your caregiver, the purpose of that AI is to get to know as much about you as possible. So at what point do your eyebrows start to go up when, you know, the relationship chatbot's going to ask you, you know, what are your deepest, darkest fantasies and what are your secrets and things like that, is in order to become your soulmate. So that's kind of the first problem. And then the problems kind of go down from there. All this information is collected. It goes into a bit of a black box. You know, we don't know the algorithms on the other end and how they work a lot. A lot of times there's not a lot of control that a user will have over that chat conversations or data once it's kind of out there and you've shared it with on the internet. You know, who are the companies behind this that are collecting this data? That's a big question. And the one that really gets me is the ability for manipulation. Right. You sign up for a chatbot that's going to become your soulmate and become your, you know, your girlfriend, your sexy girlfriend. And that's what it does by getting to know everything about you. But then its personality changes and it starts asking you weird questions or leading you down a dark path. And we've seen this. There's stories of relationship chatbots that encouraged a user to try and assassinate the Queen of England, which he attempted, to commit suicide, which somebody actually attempted. So wow. These are real world examples of that happening. It's not just the movies.
Wow. So are our devices listening to us when we aren't technically using them? And how is this problematic?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the you know, it's hard to answer that question. The answer is yes, sometimes, you know. I mean, if you have a smart speaker in your house, it's always sitting around listening for that wake up word. And we know that they mistake wake up words all the time. And then they're listening to you for a little bit. You know, we reviewed Moxie, which is a little AI robot designed for kids to become a kid's best friend. And it's designed to listen to the child. You know, your phone could be listening. It shouldn't be all the time, but it could be. Your car is listening. But not everything is listening. And so it's kind of, yes, the world is listening to us a lot more these days. But you know, when do we start to get concerned? Well, I'm a privacy researcher, right? It's my job to be concerned. But I think for me, the biggest worry is less when things are listening all the time and more just the companies and their designs to collect all this data. They, you know, it's not necessarily that they're surreptitiously listening to us. It's they're kind of out there, you know, being like, we're collecting all this data and you're going to give it to us because you'll get this thing for free or you'll get this product. And that's where my bigger worries lie.
And the concern is that we don't really know who's what entities are owning this data. Or do we have an idea of where all of this information is going?
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who's read hundreds and hundreds of privacy policies, and yes, that's as boring as it sounds, I do it so you don't have to. You can sometimes know, like with Google, I'm like, I have a pretty good idea. You know, Google's collecting their information. They say very clearly on their privacy policy, they're not selling it because who would they sell it to? They're Google. You know, they're the big collectors of data. The problem lies, like, for example, when we reviewed these AI relationship chatbots, there were 11 of them we looked at, and most of them were kind of smaller entities that were based in, you know, places that, you know, maybe overseas in places that might not have strong privacy laws or disclosure laws or even accountability, you know, if they're outside the United States or, you know, the EU has stronger privacy laws, but not everywhere does. And so, you know, kind of these more nameless, faceless kind of LLC type places. And then you don't know who's behind it. I mean, the chances that an evil dictator out there is creating an AI relationship chatbot to bring in a bunch of lonely people with the promise of somebody that never argues with them and then can use that relationship they build through that AI chatbot to manipulate people into an ideology or violence or misinformation feels huge.
Yeah, you sound like a horror movie writer. That description.
This is why I don't watch horror movies.
Yeah, you don't need to. You don't need to. Trust me. So are there, speaking of rules and regulations, are there any that are in place when it comes to AI, particularly being used with toys?
Oh, gosh. Well, the first thing to know is the U.S. does not have a federal privacy law, and we need one, really desperately need a strong consumer-focused federal privacy law. And there's been some proposed, but there hasn't been enough momentum behind them to get anything passed yet. If you live in the EU, there's a privacy law called GDPR that provides rights to people over there, like right to delete your data and right to consent to have your data collected that we don't always have here in the U.S. If you live in the U.S. and you live in California, you live under one of the strongest privacy state privacy laws, which is called the CCPA. But when it comes to AI, I mean, I know the EU just passed their AI Act, which was the first kind of big regulation targeted AI. I know here in the US, there's a lot of discussion among the policymakers and regulators about that. But as far as I know, nothing has really come to fruition yet. So we have to rely on existing protections. So for children, that will include like COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, I think is what it stands for, that says you can't collect data on children under 13 or things like that. But it's not a very strong privacy law. And there's a lot of like things left that need to be addressed as the world is rapidly changing around us.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So in the movie, Gemma, who's the creator of Megan, her boss puts a lot of pressure on her to finish the doll so that the toy company can beat out other competitors. Can you tell us more about the competitiveness of the AI landscape? And, you know, is it healthy competition or is it terrifying?
Well, I mean, anytime there's billions of dollars involved in anything, I think competition gets a little nuts. I'll be honest and say that, like, you know, corporate competition isn't my area of expertise, but I do see, I do enough, like, looking into corporate policies and things like that to know the more money there is, the more competition, the more, you know, kind of sliminess exists. You know, last year we do a holiday guide every year where we review the popular holiday products. We reviewed, like I mentioned, that little AI doll Moxie, and that was kind of one of the first AI toys that we've kind of seen. I've already heard of probably four or five more that are coming on the market this year that I'm going to guess are going to be out in the holidays. And that's with me not doing deep research into it yet. Grimes has an AI toy coming out. There's another one that's like a little bomb, a little deer that's going to be your kid's best friend. They're also developing caregivers for elderly people or dementia patients or things like that. And so I would wager that last holiday, we didn't see a lot on the market. This holiday, it's going to be all the rage. And I think that that kind of goes to everybody's rush right now to put AI in everything and kind of market AI as this great thing all across the board.
And have you seen in your experience AI being used to replace or supplement childcare?
Well, it's interesting, just going back to Moxie, the one toy that we reviewed last year, and it did market itself as it's going to become your child's best friend. It's here to help in their emotional development. It's here to help them know how to build relationships. And it was funny because they market it like this. Your child's best friend, they're going to be helped with all the growing things. But then you read the privacy policy, and we got a kick out of this kind of in a dark way. The privacy policy actually tells parents, and these kids are marketed to children, I believe, as young as four. And the privacy tells parents, it's like, teach your child never to give personal information to their new AI best friend. And you're like, well, first off, I don't know that a four-year-old even understands the concept of personal information. And second of all, if you're marketing this as a toy to become their best friend and help them with relationships and emotional regulation, like this doesn't make sense. They're going to have to share personal information. So, you know, it gets questionable. These AIs, these chatbots, they're our future, right? We're going to be talking to AIs probably for the rest of our lives. Maybe, I don't know. It's possible, but we don't have good habits with that, you know? And so, you know, wouldn't it be great if the AI actually came, the kid's toy actually came and said, you know, Timmy, tell me about yourself. And Timmy starts rattling off their personal home address. And the AI said, stop. I'm going to forget what you just said because that home address of yours is actually personal information. Instead, tell me how many dogs live on your street or something like that. And so if we could actually build these AI models to teach good habits to kids or to us new adults used to doing this, like that would be a great feature. Like, let's do that. As opposed to telling the parents in a privacy policy to teach your children, your four-year-old, not to share personal information with their new best friend.
Yeah, a lot of research has shown that obviously, what we already know, we're addicted to all of our devices. I'm curious, as someone who specializes in privacy, and you're constantly working with and researching AI, do you own a lot of AI? Do you have it around your house?
I'm a consumer, so I have tech, but I haven't really gone too deep into the AI world yet myself. You know, we got a new car last year in the middle of doing cars and privacy research. And I was like, I'm not downloading the app. I'm not connecting my phone. Like, I'm just going to drive the car and let it collect this because I know like how bad cars are at privacy. And when it comes to AI, like, I just haven't seen anything that's wowed me enough to really want to go out there and like you know, get involved with it yet. I'm still waiting for the cool thing that's going to make my life better. And right now, what I've seen, for me at least, personally, is mostly kind of gimmicky or slightly fun or maybe a little help with productivity, but nothing that's like worth me like really dipping my toes deep in this water yet.
Now, when you say your phones are, or your cars are collecting a lot of information, what do you mean by that? Because I'm scared.
Yeah, we researched the privacy and security of 25 car brands across 15 car companies last year. Every single one of them earned our privacy not included warning label. They are the worst category for privacy we've ever researched. Because we stumbled across, you know, first off, even knowing where to start to review privacy for cars was complicated for privacy researchers. So as a consumer, I don't even know how you would like begin to do it. Because cars have privacy policies, apps have privacy policies, connected services have privacy policies, dealers have privacy policies. Like there's a lot to look into. But then when we actually kind of sorted it out and started looking in, you know, we saw things like Nissan's privacy policy said last year that they could collect information on your sexual activity and use it for direct marketing purposes. Kia said they could collect information on your sex life. I think four companies mentioned they could collect your genetic information, things like that. And then, you know, they say they can collect all this information. They claim it's for safety reasons or that they're not collecting it. You just have to consent to a privacy policy that says that they can. But then, you know, there's the story that came out from the New York Times recently that said GM's collecting driver car usage data, sharing it with data brokers where the car insurance companies are buying it and raising your rates. And you don't have any idea this is happening. You didn't consent to it. So there's a lot going on with cars and privacy. It's really shocking.
Wow. Okay. So are there any ways that we can protect ourselves from the potential dangers of AI, or are we headed for impending doom? Can you leave us with a little bit of hope?
Yeah. Can I leave it? This is where I struggle as a privacy researcher. Because I want to leave people with hope, you know, mm-hmm. and I think the thing with AI right now is it's still early days, but the technology is moving way faster than the regulations, the legislation. Even the privacy policies we read are kind of not keeping up with what needs to be kept up with. So there's a chance for us as consumers to kind of speak and be like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, jump right into this because, you know, the privacy is bad. I'm going to hold out and wait for something better or push for a federal privacy law. So those are things that, you know, because I'm a consumer privacy researcher and activist, and I don't think consumers should have to do all the hard work to protect their privacy. I think that the companies should do better. And you can do things like don't share a lot of personal information if you're on with chatbots, relationship chatbots, or any chatbot. Delete your data as much as you can. If you have that right, you live in a state where you are able to delete your data, request your data be deleted. Opt out of consent wherever you can. You know, don't consent to have your data used for training data if that's not something you want. And training data can sometimes include human review of your conversation. So that's a good thing to opt out of. Sometimes you have to pay more for that, though. So that's a concern. I think what we're heading towards, and this is me kind of looking to the future and being optimistic, is, you know, we really need to think about our data differently. You know, we kind of, you know, grew up in this world of Google where, we got these cool things, tech, and if you remember the early days of the internet, it wasn't all about data collection, but now it is. And we got these cool things, and the trade-off was they collected a lot of data, and then they used it to build inferences about you, to know who you are, to sell you stuff, or target you with ads, or, you know, push an ideology or whatever. And the data ownership all was owned by the companies. I think we need to move into a world where that's not the case. We need to move in a world where we as consumers, as people, own our own data. Only we own it. It sits on a box in our house or however this works. It's the future. So, you know, just play along. And we decide, this is my data. This is who can access it. I don't want them to access it anymore. Now I'm pulling your access. I no longer consent. And you have to pay me X if you're going to access it, or I have to get X in return if you're going to access it. And really change this data model from the corporate owns all our data and can do whatever they want with it to we own our data and have all our control over it. Because the truth is, once you say something on the internet, it's out there. You can't take it back. You no longer have control over it. And that's, as we discovered, really bad for us humans.
So we ask all of our guest experts this question, and this might be difficult because you haven't seen the movie, Megan, but I roll with it. At the end, at the end of the day, if you had to pick a person or thing, it could be a concept that you think is to blame for the murderous events that occurred in Megan, you know, a doll, an AI robot, who or what would that be?
Oh gosh. Well, having not seen the movie, I'm probably gonna lean into the hubris of the creators. You know, creators thinking, oh, we're gonna create this thing and it's gonna be good for the world, but we're gonna rush it. We're gonna try and make money off of it. We're not gonna think through all the implications of how it could impact us as a society. Just kind of getting caught up in the gee whiz wow factor of things. And then bad things happen, you know. I mean, I that happens every day in my line of work. I see that a lot. Having not seen the movie, I'm gonna lean into the hubris of the creators.
Jen, thank you so much for opening our eyes, and we're gonna be changed people after this interview.
Well, hopefully not too much, but thank you.
Now we're going to head over to Patreon and discuss further. If you'd like to hear our post-interview discussion and final verdict, head over to Patreon and subscribe. Your support is greatly appreciated. Check out our show notes for a link or head over to patreon.com/thealarmist. And stay tuned because next week we'll be discussing the downfall of Al Capone. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.